Hey everybody, Shane Presley with Rock Picker Podcast. I'm going to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight, located on the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard, right over there on the hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, come over there and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar. They share a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come get some tacos, get some drinks, and watch one of your favorite bands record in the studio. Or if you have a band and you want to get in the studio, they can get you taken care of. It's just a really unique experience and something I'm really proud to have a part of this show. We got a couple of cool events coming up that I want to tell you about that you need to check out. On March 4th, good buddies of the show, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, will be having their listening party over there. They just recorded a new album over there at the Gaslight with another friend of the show, Zach Gibbons, and you're going to be able to listen to the record on March 4th, Saturday, 8 to 11, so come over there for that. And also, friends of the show, the Loft Sessions, do their recordings over there, and another buddy, Scrub, will be having a live Gaslight session March 18th, 8 p.m., Saturday night. So mark those on your calendar. Come on over to the Gaslight. Check it out. All upcoming events are on GaslightSTL.com. And follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like a—it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey guys, this is Madison Thorne with 420 and Madison Thorne Photography. You are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at
West End Grill and Pub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
West End Grill and Pub.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for having us out here tonight. I'm hanging out with Madison Thorne. Welcome to the show.
I can't believe you're having me, but, you know, right on.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
This is, you know, this is fun for me. Like, I like talking to a lot of different people. I'm just a fan of conversation. You know, I have various musicians and comedians and all kinds of people around our community, but I've been wanting to try to get more friends and family and people involved in the show too, just because it's fun to just to have a moment to hang out and talk and tell some stories and stuff. So and you're definitely one of those people, because like we've known each other a bit now. We've become good friends in a in the short time, like you know, we probably maybe a year or something.
I
can't remember exactly when we first met, but it hasn't been very long.
Right.
I see you all the time at Broadway Oyster Bar and stuff, and a lot of these shows, and that's just it's just been fun. But usually there's a band playing, so it's not as easily to have a nice conversation, but this allows us to hang out for a minute and talk and more of a more conducive environment. So
it is bizarre to not have a band screaming in the background while I try to talk to you.
Yeah,
but we certainly have a diverse community, and it's awesome that you're trying to include everyone, and it's greatly appreciated.
For sure. I can't even remember. I don't know exactly when we first met and started talking, but I guess it probably was only a few few months ago and things. For me, I lose track of time when you're working two jobs and doing the show and
yeah, no kidding.
And everything else. I keep myself pretty busy and sometimes I forget what day it is. But I got all kinds of alarms going off on my phone all day long, trying to make sure I'm where I need to be at and stuff. So
yeah, just the working man.
Yeah, gotta hustle.
Right on.
But anyway, so tell me a little bit about you. Like, where does things get started for you? I know you do some concert photography around town, and I think that was one of the first interactions we started having was I had Kenny on, and I found out you two were friends and stuff, and I remember that being early on in our how do you get into shooting concert photography and stuff?
I can sum up my existence by saying that I was born a photographer and raised as a musician.
Yeah.
I'm actually a third generation photographer. My mom was a photographer, my grandma was a photographer, so I was born into it. I couldn't help it. And then I was just surrounded by music growing up. All the live music you could ever possibly want to obtain as a small child, I got to do that. It was a great way to grow up. And so I just started taking my camera to shows, and I think that's how a lot of music photographers are born, is they just go with what they know, and they take their cameras along, and they have fun doing it. And you might take 100 shots and you come back with one, and someone says, hey, that's a good shot. Yeah. And that motivates you to go to the next show, and maybe you get 2 shots at the next show, and you just go from there.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you recall your that first show that kind of got you hooked on this?
My first show was Mama's Pride down at Wildwood Springs Lodge. And I got to go down there just to hang out, but I brought my camera along, and I kind of snuck around. I don't know if you've ever been to Wildwood Springs Lodge, but it's a very intimate venue.
Yeah, I don't think I've been.
It's very, very small, so I could get through people. Everyone was sitting, and I can get through people really easily and get right up to the front of the stage. And I came back with that one shot, and it kind of sparked the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. And so you've been doing this for a while now, right?
I'd say, how old am I, 26? I'd say professionally maybe 6 years,
okay.
6 or 7 years. People handing me money to do this, which is crazy.
That feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I play with 4 and 20. It's part of the reason we're on here.
Yeah.
But I actually started off as 4 and 20's photographer. And then they found some timpani parts in obscure CSNY songs. They're like, hey, do you want to play timpani as well? Okay. So now I photograph the show and then hop up for my few songs and then hop back down.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw you most recently, I guess, at the time of this recording, that you posted stuff from Mom's Kitchen that you shot at Del Mar Hall.
Yeah.
And those turned out really awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That was fun. I'd never seen Mom's Kitchen before. Sorry, Mom's Kitchen. And I don't know anything about Widespread Panic. And I met most of those guys that day.
Yeah.
But it sounded great, thanks to Limpert. And I can't remember the lighting guy's name, but it looked great as well. And all those guys are incredibly talented.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to capture that when musicians love what they do. It's easy to kind of put it in a frame, mm-hmm. because they're so passionate, and it's just obvious. I don't know.
Sure. Do you, you got a bunch of really great ones, but when you're shooting and you get that picture of, them laughing or whatever, or something, a particular moment, do you know right then that you're like, oh, this is going to be something great, or?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the greatest feelings is to get a shot and know you got it without having to check the back of the camera. Yeah. Just, it's a wonderful feeling. And my favorite shots, I got a couple at the Mom's Kitchen. It was of them just laughing and interacting with each other. I think that those are what I like to try and highlight, is the the human aspect of being a musician and playing with other people. Because, I mean, I think the greatest part of playing music is that the fact that you get to share it with people, and whether it's with the crowd or whether it's with your fellow musician, there's just a sense of joy out of the whole thing. And if I can capture that in a photo, cool.
Yeah.
I've done my job.
That's one of my favorite parts as a fan too, because just watching those guys laugh and having fun, and just knowing that it's a genuine moment, like, you know, that they're having a great time playing with their buddies on stage and everything,
right.
And so that for me, like, is when I see that kind of stuff on fan or as a fan on stage, you know, and like, you know, that it's not just a job, it's not a, you know, this is not just another gig or whatever. They're you know, legitimate enjoying it and stuff. So that's always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you mentioned playing with 4 and 20. We have a date on the calendar for March 31st over at Del Mar Hall. And yeah, this great venue, as you noticed, the Mom's Kitchen show. But yeah, beautiful room, and it's going to be a lot of fun over there.
I'm really looking forward to it. So 4 and 20, for those of you who don't know that are listening to this, is a tribute to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. It's an 8-piece band, which is insane. It's a huge tribute band. But usually our annual gig, we may do it twice a year, is at the Family Arena. And that's, you know, we've played to crowds of 5,000 before there. And it's amazing. You know, that's a rock venue.
Right.
But I'm really looking forward to this Del Mar Hall, because I think sellout's 750.
Yeah,
that's a fraction of what we're used to playing
sure.
to. But to me, that's almost better, because you're that much closer to the audience, and you don't have to feel like, you know, you have to be loud just because you're playing to an arena. You can tone everything back, and you can really focus on harmonies and the beautiful medley of everything, you know. I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's going to be a great night. And this, so it's the 31st of March, and tickets available at the pageant STL or pageant.com, I think, or Del Mar Hall maybe.
Probably
has
Del Mar Hall. I think.
I think they're all. I think it's all connected, but either way.
I haven't tried to buy tickets
yet.
Yeah,
right. But yeah, get online. You can find them there. But yeah, so that's the. So this is a, like I said, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young tribute. And so that all just started as from you shooting their shows, and they decided to invite you up. I mean, did you have percussion background before? Or?
I do. I've been, you know, I started in middle school, you know, went through the whole system of playing in middle school and high school and then into college and all that stuff. So I guess 10, 12 years, something like that. And like I said, I was shooting the show, and then Scott Niehaus found this crazy timpani part. Like, it's not even a timpani player on the song. It's a drummer that has a timpani next to his kit, and he's playing it. Scott's like, we could use some timpani.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. I cannot think of another situation where you would need rock timpani, but I get to do it, and it's pretty awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And is that... is that where you met Johnny? Or
Yeah. So 4 and 20 is a combination of the band Rodgers and Niehaus and the Mondin Band and a couple other players. And Coatney was the drummer for Mondin Band at the time. And so that's how I met all of those guys, actually. Just being in a band with them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then... I didn't really know much about Johnny, but earlier this year we had the, or I guess it was 2016, had the jam for Johnny.
Yeah.
And which was just a lovely event. I mean, really came together nice. So many of my favorite players were there, and it was nice to see the crowd that came out and support that show. And and I met Johnny that night.
That's cool.
And you know, me and my mom, we introduced ourselves and said hey and stuff. But so I like I said, I didn't know much of him, but you know, being that as many of my friends want to be part of it, you know, really meant that he must be somebody very special because, you know, it was, like I said, for that many people to consider him in that high regard, like, you know,
yeah.
It was like, so I was honored to meet him, and but he was battling, some cancer stuff?
Rare sinus cancer. So, yeah. Do a very, very brief history. I guess about 6 years ago, they discovered the cancer. It was behind his left eye. It took out his left eye, and he came back full force. And he did great for a couple years, and then unfortunately came back behind his right eye. And they didn't want to take that eye, too, so they just kind of let it progress. Unfortunately, he slowly lost his eyesight. And I actually started driving him to gigs and all, and setting up his kit for him because he was still a badass player.
Yeah.
Just as long as his kit was set up exactly how he remembered it, and so that's what we did every weekend, and that's how we got to play for as long as he did. Is because myself and my friend Tyler, we'd go in and set it all up for him and get him situated, and he kicked ass for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
But. I guess in August of last year, I decided to put on this concert. And we kind of knew at that point that he wasn't going to be around for much longer, unfortunately. So, yes, I wanted to raise money and do this benefit and all this stuff, but I also kind of just wanted to throw him a party,
yeah.
You know. And all I did was get all my friends on the line, you know. Emily Wallace, Al Holiday, Funky Butt, Scandaleros, Gypsy Lion, Big Mike, and then the Italian Stallions, as they were called, you know, Tony Campanella, Steve Picaro, and John Madden. All those guys, I mean, without none of them knew. The amazing thing, one, is that none of them knew Johnny.
Yeah.
Actually, my brother Austin was the only one out of that whole bill, that whole lineup of people that knew John.
Wow.
And but all they just... They said okay.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, friend of Madison's needs help? Yeah, sure. No problem. Yeah, we'll be there. No questions asked. And it was humbling. It was shocking. It was beautiful. And you know, we gave Johnny one day where he didn't have to worry about cancer or being blind or anything like that. He just got to sit and talk music and listen to music. And it was a really good day. I'm still baffled by the whole thing. Yeah,
that I didn't realize they weren't all friendly and stuff. But that's cool. I mean, that's the type of community we have here, and that's what's really something amazing about St. Louis music and stuff. Mm-hmm. That everybody sticks together like that, and especially in a time of need. You know, people are happy to jump up and like, I'll play. And so I've seen it a lot, and it's really something special.
And I think that the only reason that most of the bands didn't know him is because Johnny and the Mining Band played on the Illinois side.
Okay.
And everyone I asked is pretty much on the Missouri side.
Sure.
And for some reason, there's that weird divide.
Yeah.
I don't know. People from Missouri don't go over to Illinois. People from Illinois don't go over to Missouri. For whatever reason, that happens.
Right.
And one of my favorite parts about that day is that there were two groups of people. Either you knew Johnny and didn't know the music, or you knew the music and didn't know Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just this wonderful confluence of people rubbing elbows with each other that had never rubbed elbows with each other before. And I consider it an accomplishment.
Yeah, definitely.
Putting that whole day together.
Are we looking to make this some sort of an annual event?
Really thought about it. It's a possibility. The only question that I've come up with is, you know, where would the money go?
Yeah.
Obviously the first benefit was for the family and medical bills and stuff. And
We could easily set up some sort of memorial fund thing, and donate it in his name to other cancer benefits or other various things. I mean, or a scholarship or anything like that. Like, there's a lot of people and could use some money, but it'd be great to continue his legacy.
Well, thank you.
So.
I would love to do that whole thing again.
Yeah.
We also talked with Play It Forward. You know, it's a wonderful organization.
I've had Samantha on the show. We've talked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah. She's, we She has some really great stories to share, and some that, you know, just rip your heart out. And But you know, it's a beautiful thing that she's doing to help children in need with music. So
God bless Sam. Yeah. The Mondin Band and I actually got to deliver instruments to a family with three kids for Christmas 2 years ago, I think. It's wonderful.
My first first birthday party I threw for the show was over at Steve's Hot Dogs, and I had her be a part of it, and she came out and spoke, and we actually, you know, I made the put it out there, you know, hey, if anybody wants to donate, we'll make this a donation site for the day, and you know, obviously, you know, it's a chance to see who shows up with some instruments, but I had friends actually bring guitars, and we, you know, gifted it to play it forward and stuff, and so that was really cool that we were, I mean, that we got to be a part of that. You know, that was somebody, somebody's gonna get a first guitar or something like that that didn't have it. And so
it's a wonderful organization.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but yeah, that'd be. I really think we ought to keep it going. I think we ought to make
it do it again.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a, like I said, such a beautiful event, and so many friendly faces in the crowd, and that was a. So I would love to do that again this fall and stuff. So
cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, if you need my help, I'll be there. But
I appreciate
it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got all that. Yeah. So we're obviously, like I said earlier, we get to talk. But I mean, are you originally from St. Louis?
Yeah.
Growing up in this area.
Born and raised.
Yeah.
Grew up in Dogtown. Spent a little bit of time out in the county. Now I'm back in Dogtown.
Yeah.
Love every second of it.
Hey, real quick, I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. Are you looking for brand new music? Come on over to Music Record Shop, located at 3224 Locust Street, second floor. It's the old Plush building. You might have been to Plush a couple years back. Now it's called the Zach Building. Come on over there, check it out. Beautiful place. They just recently moved over there, and they got a whole new store, new everything, a bunch of great vinyl CDs, and tons of local stuff as well. And if you want to get your stuff on the shelves, if you're a local band or artist and want to get your music on the shelves, reach out and make that happen. They have a lot going on. Everything at musicrecordshop.com. Shop online 24/7. And they got a couple cool events coming up on February 23rd, a turntable takeover with Wild Adratic. I'm hoping I said that right. And on Friday, every Friday, new music in store. They have records coming in from Dirty Projectors, Circus Survive, Old 97s, and a whole lot more. Again, all that full listing is at musicrecordshop.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, back to the show. You know, you were saying being a third generation, is that has always been photography you thought would always going to be your profession and stuff?
No, I didn't. I was totally going to, you know, bite the bullet and just try and find a profession or a job that would pay the bills, you know. And I actually had an art teacher explain the quote, art is meant to disturb. And the definition of disturb is to break the quiet order. So art is meant to break the quiet order. You know, it's just, it's meant to, if you're walking past a piece of art and it jostles your brain for just half a second, it's done its job,
right?
You know. So for some reason, that really struck a chord with me, and I said, you know what, screw it. I don't want to be a paramedic. I don't want to have a desk job. I want to make art, and I want to jostle people's brain a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. So I ran with it.
Yeah. I can totally dig that, because like, for me, you know, I still have the day job. You know, I still. You get sick of the same stuff, and you want to do something that you're passionate about.
Sure.
And that's a lot of how this show started for me, is like I wanted something different. We were having a lot of fun. My friend said, let's start a podcast, and I was like, all right. And we started running with it, and You know, it's like, it's crazy to think that how many people are jumped on board with this thing. And
yeah.
But, you know, I'm hoping to keep it rolling and maybe someday get paid to do it and make it a, you know, transition out of the day job. And
yeah, you know, so. We all just hope to get paid for doing what we love. You know, that's the dream.
Yeah.
It's not big houses. It's not fancy cars. It's just being able to get up and do something you enjoy and someone hand you a check.
Yeah, for sure. So you've been being a professional photographer now for like 6 years, you said?
Yeah, six years, something like that.
That's gotta be pretty good. I mean, is it mainly for concert? I mean,
I do a bunch of stuff, different things. I've actually done a couple weddings before. I've done, you know, senior portraits. You know, anything that involves a camera, I'm willing to attempt, you know, but I think that my true happy place is concert photography.
Yeah.
You know, just being a musician and trying to capture other musicians' essence, not to get all hippy-dippy, but trying to capture what they're portraying is something I really, really enjoy and I think I could identify well with.
Mm-hmm. Is that where you end up meeting Kenny Williamson? Is in the photo pit or something?
Yeah, I met Kenny in the photo pit. Well, actually, I met Kenny officially at an art gallery I had like 4 years ago, I believe. And Rocky, his girlfriend, came up to me and she introduced herself. And then Kenny followed shortly behind her and introduced himself. And Rocky says, "Oh, this is Kenny of RKN Photo." And I geeked out because I had followed Kenny's work for a while.
Right.
And, you know, him and people like Todd Morgan and Paula Dada and all these high class, and I think St. Louis is weird for this, and in the best way, all of these high class, absolutely astounding photographers were totally willing to offer me any advice I wanted.
Sure.
And that's uncommon. I think I'm lucky to be here, and I think we're a one-of-a-kind city because it's not only in the photography world that this happens, it's also in the music world. Like, you get the Soulard Jam Nights. They'll take anyone, but they're willing to take in young kids and put them on stage and let them play, and then when they get done, say, "Hey, this was great. Maybe you could do this a little better. Maybe you could do this a little better." And everyone's so willing to give everyone else a helping hand up.
Sure.
And just don't see that anywhere else.
Yeah, I think it's definitely that Midwest thing. You know, I don't know. It seems like the people are just genuinely want to help people out and stuff. Like, it's just, but yeah, it is really a unique, I think, to St. Louis and just the people around here.
I don't know about all of Midwest, because I was talking to a friend of mine in Chicago who's also a photographer, and I was telling him that I had, in the photo pit, when I was first starting out, asked the photographer next to me, you know, what his settings were, you know, because I was just, it was probably one of my first times at the pageant or something like that, and I was just nervous, so I kind of elbowed him. I said, "Hey man, what you got going on with your camera?" And my friend in Chicago said, "Are you serious? You get cut for asking a photographer their settings." It's like, you know, the guy next to me answered and the guy on the other side of him answered. I mean, everyone just wants to help each other out. We want to see St. Louis succeed. We want to see our friends succeed.
Yeah, for sure. So I had a similar, you talking about geeking out a little bit with Kenny, and I had the same thing. Like, you know, I've been a fan of his work for quite a while. You know, we became Facebook friends and stuff, and just admired all of his work. And, you know, the fact that we became friends is, like, just crazy. Like, you know, but he's just a super cool guy. I'd run into him at, like, a Walmart or whatever, and, you know, around town and stuff. And it's just really crazy how cool he is and, like, how we are actually friends now and stuff. And then, you know, having him on the show, he's very modest and humble about it. You know,
it's super annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm like, you're amazing, man. Like, but he's like, I tried to tell him to come on the show, and he's like, "Well, I don't know what I would talk." You know, like that kind of thing. Don't know what he's going to talk about, but I found it fascinating, and just to capture some of these stories, you know, I mean, he's, you know, met all kinds of crazy, cool people and, you know, amazing shots and stuff. So it was, yeah, he's just a super cool guy. And, and Rocky, too. She's amazing. So.
Yep, they're all sweethearts.
Yep, good people. But, yeah, if you haven't checked out some of Kenny's work, check out RKN Photo, and it'll blow your mind.
It'll blow your little mind.
Yeah.
Blow your little mind.
Todd Morgan, you mentioned. I'm a big fan of his work as well.
Mm-hmm.
Backbeat Photography, if you are not aware. And he, it's kind of a crazy night. I went down to El Monstero a couple, I guess, see, whatever, not this last time around, but the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down and recorded with Kevin Gagnepain backstage.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
And of the, one of the shows that we recorded in, like, the production office or whatever backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And had a nice time hanging out. And then I come out, and Todd's there, and it was I was trying to get a photo with Kevin for the podcast, and Todd took that photo, and it was just really funny to me, like, to ask a professional photographer. I did it to you too, but I asked a professional photographer to take a picture of me with my cell phone, and you know, so I definitely think it's funny that I have a Todd Morgan photo credit on that picture and stuff.
All right, but, on a cell phone pic?
Yeah.
I get that quite a bit, and I don't think it's because I'm a photographer. I think it's just because I happen to be standing there when someone needs a picture.
Right.
And so they'll hand me their phone. I say, hey, will you take a picture of us? I'm like, yeah, sure, you got $20?
Yeah.
They're like, what? Never mind, here, I will gladly take your picture for you.
Right.
But yeah, they got artwork, and they don't even know it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love seeing what they are able to pull off. Of course, they do a lot of stuff at the amphitheater and the pageant and all these, you know, where there's beautiful lighting and stuff and you know, so. But so you've done you've said pageant as well. I mean, are you do you get the a photo pass or a media pass or whatever, and you can just kind of put your name on the list or something?
Usually I go through the band.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier that way.
Yeah,
the band just kind of says, "Hey," and then there you go.
Yeah. So you pretty much just stick into photography of your friends and things, or you?
Yeah, that's usually what comes around nowadays.
Right.
That's cool. That's still a performance. I mean, that still includes El Monstero and Celebration Day and all of those guys.
We've got a lot of cool friends around town.
Yeah. I know. Our friends are famous.
Yeah.
We got popular friends.
Yeah, it's I don't know how I got myself into all this, but I'm glad I did. I'm having a hell of a time getting to hang with these guys and watching them perform and just to get to know them as people, because they're all really great people. And the same thing, man, this has been fun, like getting to hang with you and getting to get some of these stories and stuff. So let's get this plug out one more time. You can come out to Del Mar Hall, beautiful Del Mar Hall in the Del Mar Loop, on March 31st and see 4 and 20, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young tribute.
And we're pretty awesome.
Yeah. I've not been to a show, but I do love me some Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young tunes.
It's, so I think there are two different types of tribute bands. You know, tribute bands kind of, they get a little flack sometimes, you know. I've heard people say, well, they're not real bands, they're not real musicians, all that stuff. I think there are the tribute bands that they want to put on the wigs, and they want to twirl around their mic stands, and they want to do, you know, all the crazy, goofy stuff.
Sure.
It, just to be rock stars for a night. Just to pretend to be Roger Daltrey or something, you know? And then there are the bands like 4 and 20 and Celebration Day and El Monstero that want to get it right.
Yeah.
They have so much respect for the bands and the music. And, you know, they... I was talking to Jimmy Griffin once, and he knows what gauge guitar strings that Jimmy Page was using for a certain song on a certain album. Like, I mean, they are so specific. And My boys are the same way. They've been playing Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young their whole lives, and they're dedicated to just making it absolutely perfect. And, you know, my favorite song of the night, we all come out front and we do Find the Cost of Freedom, which is just vocals by the end of it. So there's eight of us belting out, and we can all sing, by the way. By the way, we're not just badass musicians. We can all sing.
Yeah.
And so we come out, we do this just this killer vocal track, and the arena just it rings for days. And that's you don't get that with the goofy tribute bands that put on wigs. You know, they don't care. They just want to be rock stars, and we don't want to be rock stars. We want to give you the music in its proper form.
Yeah.
And
dig that.
Yeah.
I had a same feeling. For the longest time, I avoided going to El Monstero shows because of the tribute band word. You know, the fact, because I'd been given like free tickets to go see other tribute bands and not enjoy my time at all.
Sure.
And then I was like, so that always kind of stuck with me, like, you know, and then and people were like, yeah, it's a Pink Floyd tribute, and I'm like, oh, or, you know, yeah. I'm not too interested. Like, mm-hmm. And then I finally got to know some of those guys, and I got to go, and I finally went to go see it, and it just, you know, everybody kept telling me how great it was, and mm-hmm. I went to go a couple of years back, and it like just, you know, unreal, like blew my mind. I'm like, and now I'm like hooked, and I go a couple times a year when they're playing at the pageant, and but yeah, I mean there's definitely it's. The term can be misused, and it's just like same thing for I think for comedians and stuff or whatever. Yeah. People will be like, "Yeah, I'm a comedian," and like they're doing open mics or whatever. Or there's you know people playing arenas and you know they're your Louis C.K.'s or whatever and stuff. You know those people they also call themselves comedians. So it's like you know there's not a really a buffer in between. So it's like there's a big difference between just a tribute act and then. Your celebration day and your El Monstero.
There's the people that love the music and and there's the people that just want to be rock stars.
Yeah.
And 420 actually got to go to Colorado last summer as part of a weekend long festival with just cover bands. It's called Coverstock.
Yeah.
It was the coolest thing ever, but it was so obvious. So the theory was they got the best cover bands to do Woodstock from all across the country. So there's bands from California, New York, and obviously we're from here. And it was so obvious the bands that just wanted to be on stage. And it was so obvious the bands that had done their research and had cared about this music for so long and had been incredibly passionate. And oddly enough, it translates to photography as well, or for me at least. On Friday, I tried to go out and photograph one of the bands, and it just did not tantalize anything. There was just nothing there. I mean, they wanted to have the lights and the costumes and the tight pants and all this stuff. And I was standing there trying to photograph them. Like, I can't do this. It's just it's kind of gross,
right?
You know. And then the band that followed us the next day was a tribute to the band. They were called the Band Band. Great name, right? And I came up to listen to the last half of their set, and I have all my equipment away already, and I'm standing there on the side of the stage listening, and I think, holy shit, these guys are amazing, and they were so good. I ran back to the backstage area, grabbed all my camera gear again, ran back out front after doing my own gig, and photographed the whole rest of their performance, and it's some of my favorite photos still. But it's because they were so obviously in love with what they were doing, and you can't fake that.
Right.
And I didn't think when I first started out you could translate passion for music into a single frame, but after doing this for this many years, it's pretty obvious you can.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, Even those Mom's Kitchen photos, I mean, you can see, like, those guys are having a great time. And, I was thinking Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young tunes. There's a story comes to mind. I'm a big fan of Howard Stern's show. And Artie Lang, I think he was telling it on there, I'm pretty sure. But Artie Lang was on the show for many years and was telling a story about they had an apartment complex thing, and they had these roommates that they just hated, and Artie was like leaving for the weekend, and they looped "Sweet Judy Blue Eyes,"
they looped it
30 seconds or whatever that part is, and then just cranked the stereo and left. And,
oh my God, that's terrible.
And so they hear the recording, and they said, like, you know, they come back and they found out their door had been kicked in, and the police turned it off and stuff like that. I just imagine how crazy that would, how annoying that would have got.
Oh, like, my God.
But it's such a great song, but
if
you listen to that for very long, you're going to go insane.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's torture. I mean, that's legit torture. I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs we do, just because, the crowd cannot ever help but just, like, get up and dance.
Right.
I mean, that's when everyone kicks in, and just, like, all these old hippies just, like, you know, jumping around and enjoying themselves. But, you put that on the loop for a weekend,
yeah.
I might bust down your door.
Sure. Yeah, you're going to lose your mind for sure. And not in a good way.
No, not at all.
What's your favorite? You talked about the one, your vocal performance, or your is that your favorite one to do live with them?
It is. I mean, I only have 3 songs. Fortunately, there's 2 timpani songs, and I get to be a part of a vocal piece. You would think that my favorite would be one of the timpani songs, but it's definitely that vocal, just because it's so powerful.
Sure.
I mean, it's just, it shakes. There's something about harmonies that can shake any venue.
Yeah.
And we do that. But the timpani's fun. I get to play rock timpani. My technique is so unorthodox. You know, percussion, you have technique to everything. There's a way you're supposed to do it all. And I throw all of that out the window, because half of being on stage during a rock performance is how you look. I mean, obviously, I get the part. Musically, it's all very good, but I do a bunch of big arm stuff. And I actually apologized to a music teacher that showed up one year. I said, I know this is nothing like what you taught me, but I have a lot of fun.
Sure.
So it's an experience. I mean, rock timpani, it's not a very common term.
Right.
I feel very lucky that I get to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. You can come see Madison again at Del Mar Hall, March 31st.
Woot woot.
Tickets available now. Get yourself one and come on out.
Yeah, it's tickets to go fast. I mean, like I said, $750 is a fraction of what we're used to.
Yeah.
And they're still pretty cheap tickets.
Yeah.
So we'll have fun.
Definitely. Yeah. Madison Thorne Photography on Facebook.
True that.
You can get on there and give her a thumbs up and check out some of her work. Do you have a website as well? Or
no, no? Just the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward.
Sure. Yeah, keep it simple.
Yep.
Check all that out. I thank you for taking some time out to hang, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's been real, man. You made me feel like a rock star.
Hey, you are a rock star.
Oh, shut up. No, you're a rock star.
You're a rock star. All right. Thanks, Madison.
Thanks, Shane.
buried in the ground. Mother will swallow you, lay your body down. Find the cost of freedom.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.